ESPN 580 Orlando's Live, Local, and Loud.
Hey, welcome back. It's Live, Local, and Loud here on ESPN 580. We're broadcasting from the Victory Casino Cruises Studios, home of the only legal sports book in Central Florida. You can get in touch with the show at 844-225-5580. The text is 21232. Also on Twitter, at ESPN 580. Nick and at The Jerry Daniels. Coming up in 15 minutes, we get to the Orlando Dodge question of the night. How will we remember Dwight Howard? And it's a complex question, but what I mean is, let's say 10 years from now, when you have to explain Dwight Howard to, like, a kid that didn't watch him when he played, right? Kind of like when we talk about Jordan or Magic or Bird or any of these guys. How will we describe Dwight Howard? Like, what is his legacy going to be?
When we got him, it was so exciting.
Yes. Is it going to be 8-time NBA All-Star, 8-time All-NBA player? Which, by the way, if you want kind of an idea for how good a player is in the league, like where he fits in the pecking order of the league, look at the All-NBA list. Don't look at All-Stars. Don't look at all this other stuff. Look at the All-NBA, because the people that vote on that kind of are measuring where a guy is inside of the league. And if you make an All-NBA team, 5 guys per team, 3 teams, what does that mean? Top 15 player. So for 8 years in his career, Dwight Howard, top 15 player in the NBA. He was a MVP candidate. Led the NBA in jersey sales, or was close to us, like 2 or 3.
In 07, the dialogue was, is he or LeBron the best player in the NBA?
I was just about to make that point. So is it going to be vet Dwight Howard, or is it going to be...
I've been working on my threes.
That Dwight Howard. Or is it going to be doofus Dwight Howard that 2 franchises in a row now have celebrated he's on his way out of their town? It's a tough question. We're going to get to that coming up at 6:30. 844-225-5580. That's 844-225-5580. The text 21232. That is 21232. Also on Twitter, at ESPN580 Nick and at The Jerry Daniels. Also, Magic GM John Hammond joined Scott Inez today in what was a very riveting interview. He actually said a lot. There's a lot to take away from that. We are going to kind of recap that interview and play some clips from it coming up at 7 o'clock. So if you missed that, how do I do this? Because I want to tell you it's online at ESPNOrlando.com, but don't leave the show now and listen to it. Listen to it later, but we're also going to recap it coming up. Actually, forget Inez. Keep listening to this. We'll recap it at 7 o'clock. Let's get to the Daily Rewind.
Nick and Jerry weigh in on the day's sports conversation. It's the Daily Rewind.
It is the ESPN 580 Daily Rewind. We take you through the day's sports conversation, the best of the best, starting in the morning with Mike and Mike. Today, Greeny and Golic talking about the Knicks and Porzingis situation. Reports indicating that Knicks president of basketball operations, Phil Jackson, is taking calls on potentially trading the 2-year potential superstar.
The New York Knicks are fielding calls on trading Kristaps Porzingis. Phil Jackson is an extraordinarily intelligent person. I don't want to be on record as saying that I think Phil Jackson is trying to get himself fired, because down deep inside, that feels like something that's so easy to say. And the notion that it's really happening is such an indictment. I mean, that is such an extraordinary personal statement to be making about someone, yep, that he is purposely doing his job badly so that he can walk away with $24 million. I am not going to have my name attached to that. Having said that, I cannot think of a better reason to trade Kristaps Porzingis, or better yet, to let the world know.
There's no way you can get rid of him. You just build around him. They stink, and they're making their best player going into the future not real happy.
Oh.
So, kudos.
Let me
you
say this.
You said it yesterday.
I will attach my name to that, and that's fine. Mike Greenberg has done much more than I have in my career, and I tip my cap to Mike Greenberg for perhaps not wanting to jump off that ledge. I will. It looks like Phil Jackson is trying to get fired. I'm not saying he's trying to get fired. It looks like it. It looks to me like by taking phone calls and somehow allowing those reports, you know, because it leaked out of his office somehow, right? That he's taking phone calls on Kristaps Porzingis, because it's not a story if Phil Jackson answers the phone and somebody calls and says, hey, what about Kristaps, and he just hangs up. He took the call, he listened, and then he leaked it out to the media as well. It looks to me like Kristaps Porzingis is pulling a George Costanza, that he is bodysuit man, that he is driving around, as you hear here, like George Costanza, in his car with the World Series trophies behind it, dragging them around, trying to get fired. Phil Jackson is George Costanza. He wants his $24 million over the next 2 years, but he's tired of being the president of basketball operations. It's a mess up there in New York, And any team that can get their hands on Porzingis, especially if you only have to trade, let's say, this year's pick, a player for Porzingis and Noah, I would trade the six and whatever player on the Magic's roster for Porzingis and Noah. I would do it right now because Porzingis is better than every player in this draft.
Do you think half of it is the fact that as soon as he separates from Miss Buss, she figures out a way to take over the Lakers? Like, the job he wanted his whole life, he wasn't able to stick around with a former Playboy playmate long enough to get that job.
Do you think, I saw someone tweet this yesterday, do you think that if Jeannie Buss, this is so bad for me, I'm going to say it. Do you think if Jeannie Buss called up Phil and said, hey, Phil, I'll get back together with you if you trade us Porzingis, he'd do it?
Yes.
Right? Like, if that deal goes down, the league is going to monitor.
Can we go
that.
Back to Ocean's 11?
Sure, we can. What?
If I give you your $164 million back, will you dump?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's a mess there in New York. Let's move on. Dan Le Batard show before I get fired from 10 to 1 here on ESPN 580. Today, Dan and Stu talking about Dwight Howard and the trade to Charlotte.
People are really mad about what I said on SportsCenter, that Dwight Howard's a Hall of Famer. Because I feel like you guys just don't like him, and so you're not putting him in the Hall of Fame. You're not allowing for the fact that, A, that Basketball Hall of Fame is pretty easy to get into.
Right.
B, if Alonzo Mourning is in the Hall of Fame, Dwight Howard has to be in your Hall of Fame.
Yep.
C, Dwight Howard was really good, excellent, top five in the league good before you guys started hating. People think of him physically as Shaq, and physically he's LeBron. So the idea that he was averaging 14 and 15 rebounds a year, leading the league in rebounding, and was the three-time Defensive Player of the Year, at that size is crazy.
Yep, 6'11" essentially.
It's crazy. Well, but not even. He's not 6'11". And I think what has hurt Dwight Howard in the way that he's received is that people expect him to be Shaq because he was the big man in Orlando. But as far as big men go, he's not big.
That is the Dan Le Batard show.
He's 5 inches shorter.
Than what?
Than Shaq.
Yeah, he is.
And not the presence. He filled the middle. When he was Defensive Player of the Year, he was incredible.
But so much of Dwight's game when he was dominant was the effort and the athleticism. Yes. And some of that is gone, yes, because of the back injury. My real problem with Dwight Howard, and always has been this, is you look at him and he says some of the right things where it's okay, like I'm going to put together, I'm going to build an offensive game, right? Like Dwight is 13 years in the league and he is still the same offensive player he was year four when he was here in Orlando. Like 9 years, no development, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's doing a radio interview and
I've been working on my threes.
Work on your free throws. You're shooting 50% from the line.
I've been working on my threes.
How about a jump hook?
I've been working on my threes.
How about a baby hook?
I've been working on my threes.
How about just a drop step backing a guy down?
I've been working on my threes.
He's still a Hall of Famer. He's still a Hall of Famer.
Dwight Howard is a Hall of Famer. We'll talk about Dwight coming up in 6 minutes. Let's move on to the Ryan Russillo Show 1-4 here on The Great 58. Today, Chad Ford on with Ryan, and he was talking about the Lakers and Paul George, and the Lakers should not wait to sign Paul George in free agency.
There's a player here who's telling the Lakers, I want you to trade for me right now. I want to play in LA. I'm a superstar. I want to go there. For the Lakers to say, hey, I know you want to play for us, but we don't want to give up any assets for you, so just go hang out somewhere else for a year and wait. And by the way, we won't get your bird rights because of that, which means we're going to have to pay you about $40 million less. And by the way, go play with LeBron James in Cleveland, maybe compete for another title, maybe even win another title, and then decide, hey, I'm going to leave $40 million on the table, go to L.A., and play with all these young guys. I mean, that's a risk on the Lakers' part.
That is Chad Ford, ESPN NBA Draft Insider on the Ryan Russillo Show, 1-4 here on ESPN 580. How much are the Lakers really risking by allowing Paul George to play 1 year with one
Nothing.
Team?
Nothing.
I don't think they are either. And maybe
they're
I
in the
just,
driver's seat.
Maybe I'm just so blind I can't see the forest for the trees, right? That I am somehow underrating, and I'm sure I am just a bit, the gravitational pull that is LeBron James. But here's
He's
the other
part.
He's
already got a home there.
Here's the other
which
point.
Has been vandalized, apparently.
I think that LeBron James is leaving Cleveland in 1 year, so I'm not worried about the Cavaliers. I think that the Boston Celtics are not going to divvy up the trade assets that it's going to take. I'd be afraid of Boston and the Clippers. That's it. The point Chad Ford makes, though, that I did not think of is by letting him come into free agency, you don't get his bird rights, and it costs him about $44 million instead of trading for him. If I were Paul George, I would be pushing for them to acquire me in free agency instead of or for them to acquire me in the trade instead of free agency. That is a valid point. I thought that was a good point as well. I still expect for Paul George to end up in L.A. next year, though, as a free agent. That is the ESPN 580 Daily Rewind. We take you through the day's sports conversation here on Live Local and Loud. The Rewind, the best of the best, like the Rewind and flavor you get whenever you have an ice-cold Yingling. Yingling free while gaming on Victory Casino Cruises. For more information, you can visit Victory at victorycasinocruises.com or call them at 855-GO-VICTORY. Coming up next, we'll get into the Dwight Howard topic of the day. How will you remember Dwight Howard as the eight-time, I don't know, all-star, all-NBA player, or is the guy that now two straight teams are rejoicing is off their team now that he's headed to Charlotte? We'll get into that next. It's Live, Local, and Loud here on ESPN 580.
This is ESPN 580 Orlando's Live, Local, and Loud.
Welcome back. Live, Local, and Loud here on ESPN 580, broadcasting from the Victory Casino Cruises Studios, home of the only legal sports book in Central Florida. Thanks for joining us here tonight. He's Jerry Daniels. I'm Nick Grunowitz. We're going to take you all the way up to 8 o'clock. Then some Wednesday night baseball tonight right here on ESPN 580. Tonight, we've got a great matchup for you. First pitch just after 8 o'clock here on ESPN 580, the Arizona Diamondbacks at the Colorado Rockies. Two teams in what could be the best division in Major League Baseball, the NL West. We talked about
Without
that yesterday,
doubt.
Jerry. Yeah,
without a doubt.
Rob Seitz actually agreed with us, too. So do not forget tomorrow, the NBA draft live here on ESPN 580. Our coverage begins with Scott Inez at 4 o'clock. We're going to have a special edition of ESPN Afternoon with Scott Inez. Jerry and I will not be on tomorrow. Scotty will be on from 4 to 7. Scotty and myself live from the Amway Center. In fact, if you are headed down to the Amway Center for the Magic draft party, you are going to be there. They are going to let people in beginning at 6:30.
Yep.
When you walk in the door, Scotty and I will be the first people you see. We're going to be right there doing our show.
But
drop
still
by,
go, despite that.
Yes, please come by and say hello. I know, you know, Scotty and I will be hanging out doing the show until 7 o'clock, and then we're going to hang out, watch the picks as well. It's time to get to the Orlando Dodge question of the night here on Live, Local, and Loud. The question surrounding Dwight Howard, and we get into the whole legacy talk, I think, way too much in sports. And listen, I mean, my industry is the one that drives this, right? Like a guy like me, middle of July, not a whole lot's going on. It's all right, let's pop the mics and, well, what's LeBron's legacy, right? What are we going to talk about? What's Dwight Howard's legacy? How will he be remembered? Dwight Howard, to me, even more than LeBron James, is it like of the active legacy questions, right? In the NBA, I want to stick to the NBA because we can get into football and all this stuff and starts to get really, really kind of convoluted. But in the NBA, Dwight Howard has got to be one of the top five quote unquote legacy guys in terms of the questions that we would ask, and one of the most complicated legacies actively in the league right now. He doesn't have a championship. He was at one point in time one of the most dominant players in the league, one of the most disruptive players, and probably disruptive is an even better word because of the unique combination
shot blocking,
of size,
rebounds,
athleticism, and even personality, too. I mean, Dwight had $1 million smile, has yeah. $1 million style. He still has that. And everyone in Orlando loved the guy up until, of course, the end when he wanted to go to L.A., forced his way out, forced the firing of Stan Van Gundy. It did not end well.
Deja vu. It would have been different if it hadn't happened 10 years earlier. It's just everyone in Orlando that was a fan of the Magic felt like they had, wait a second, hadn't we seen this story before?
So that's your point. Shaq
yeah.
Part Deux is
yeah,
your point.
It really
yes.
was. I yes. mean, it was just annoying to everybody, and I think he was unfairly probably chastised
maligned.
Because the big man, number one, heads to L.A. I mean, it was like to play with Kobe Bryant. Uh-huh. It was like, really? Come on. If you wrote this story, no one would buy the book because they wouldn't believe it.
But the question that we kind of want to get into is yeah. how will you remember Dwight Howard? Because he is there are officially two parts of Dwight Howard's career.
Yeah.
There's the first, 8 to 9 years of his career. So he's drafted in 2004. And he spends 8 seasons here in Orlando
yep.
where he is disruptive. He averages 36 minutes a game, 18 points, 13 rebounds, 2.2 blocks a game. He's an 8-time All-Star. He's an 8-time All-NBA player. He's on the All-Rookie team in 2004, 5-time All-Defensive player, 3-time Defensive Player of the Year. That's part one. Part two, of course, you force the trade to L.A., you spend the one season with the Lakers. You're hampered by the back injury and all of that. And from there, it's been a year in L.A., where how many games did he play? He actually played 76 there in L.A., but he was not the same Dwight coming back from that back injury. He spends three in Houston, where he plays 71, 41, and 71. He played 74 for Atlanta last year. And in year two of a three-year, $70.5 million deal, Atlanta is shipping Dwight to Charlotte. So now, what
that
is this?
That sounds like clubhouse problems, too.
Yes, it does a little bit, and that is who Dwight is. Dwight, at his exit interview, he did the Dwight thing. I remember we talked about it on the show. I remember mentioning it. Dwight pulled the Dwight, where it's during the exit interview, he can't avoid. And that's kind of, maybe that's the thing we'll remember most, is that Dwight couldn't get out of his own way.
Yeah.
Like, even in the exit interview, there are so many times where you're in a polite public conversation, and I'm sure everyone is in this scenario, and you think of something you want to say, but you don't.
And here's the funny thing,
and
Dwight
doesn't have that filter.
If you were to take a defining moment in Orlando Magic history, obviously Shaq, the announcement of getting the number one pick with Shaq is up there. But the press conference when Stan Van Gundy just told the press, I'm trying, you know, I'm being pushed out by
that moment, yes.
And then Dwight comes in and hugs him. Is got to be top three most defining visual moments in all of Orlando Magic history.
You could be right on that. One of the most awkward moments in maybe human history, where Stan says that he is in the process of selling Dwight Howard out because he's upset, right? You have two guys that just have to say what they're thinking, right? And Dwight comes over. You're right. One of the most, and Dwight doesn't know. Stan knows. The media knows. One of the most awkward moments. I'm going human history.
And you know the worst part about that? At the time, I was on another station covering the Magic, and I did not make that press conference.
Oh, you missed it.
One of the biggest frustrations of my life is I wasn't there.
Let me quickly get to some audio from today, because Dwight Howard traded. If you did miss the news last night, it happened 8 minutes after I got off the air, which seems to be just one of the most annoying things to me. I would have loved to have broken this down with the Kevin Sutton crew and talked about Dwight Howard getting traded, though I have to say all of the jokes that they would have made about the amount of kids he had, I could have been spared from that. Let's go with Steve Clifford. So Dwight Howard traded to Charlotte last night. He's headed to his fifth team in, what, 7 years? That's what it is, five and 7 years. Okay. The Hawks trading Howard and the number 31 pick in this draft to Charlotte for Miles Plumlee, which is the second best Plumlee, Marco Bellinelli, who has been on every team in the NBA, I think, and the 41st pick in the draft. So Atlanta gets the cap relief.
Yeah.
He's owed
$22 million.
Yeah,
27 over 2 years.
Yeah, 47. Yeah. So
it was 22 this year, and the next year was 24.
Yeah,
whatever.
But it's 47 over 2 years. They get that cap relief, which they're going to try to use to keep Paul Millsap and some other dudes. Let's get to Steve Clifford, okay? Steve Clifford, who was an assistant here in Orlando, now the Charlotte head coach. Clifford was an assistant to Stan Van Gundy. Talked about Dwight Howard. Let's just start with his feeling about Dwight's basketball IQ.
The one thing people, and the only way you would know this if you're with him every day, he's a very intelligent player. Very intelligent. Coverages, schemes, offensive sets, execution. He's one of the best guys I've ever been around. So not only does he do things, you know, from a number standpoint that help your team, but he's good with details also.
Clifford also said Dwight, that guy that is so heavily maligned, so easily maligned today, is a character's nice guy to like, is an easy guy to like.
Listen, this is an easy guy to like now. You know, this isn't some, you know, guy that's hard to deal with. I mean, he's bright, he's fun-loving. He's got great sense of humor, great wit, and, you know, he's traveled around. I mean, I think after you make your first move, it becomes easier. I think he'll fit in very quickly.
He has traveled around. That's Steve Clifford, the Charlotte head coach. We'll get to his all-star comments here in just a minute. I think Dwight, the person, is very easy to like. And he seems that he likes to joke around, hang out, kind of a cool dude. From a franchise standpoint, I think Dwight is really hard to like.
We had the Magic Team dentist on here, what, about a month ago, and he said of all the players he remembers working with over
We had the dentist on?
Yeah, we had Survivor Carl. Was that one night you took off?
I must not have been here.
Yeah, we had Carl, Dr. B, on with us probably a month ago as team dentist, and he said
that was when I was on vacation.
It was when you were on vacation?
Yeah, okay.
That's when you let me do interviews. That's when you're out of town.
That is actually how a dentist ended up on our radio show. That is quite easy.
But he had a great take on Dwight. right.
Well, he was spending $1,600 a week or a month or something on candy, Dwight Howard. Like, he ate all this kind of candy.
That's why he needed that dentist.
Is that right?
That's why he needed that dentist.
Catch me up here. What was the deal?
But Carl was saying that of all the players he's worked with, the one he had the most personal relationship with was Dwight Howard.
Mm-hmm.
That's saying a lot, considering that during those 7 years he was with him, he was probably the biggest star in the Southeast in the NBA.
Oh, he was. He was. I mean, Dwight Howard was an MVP candidate. He was a top, one of the top jersey sellers. He was so marketable. I mean, like, he was a McDonald's guy. He was he a Nike guy as well?
He was all American.
He had all of the endorsements.
And that's the other thing. He's only 31. So when you think of Dwight Howard, you think of the tenure he's had in the NBA, including 8 straight All-Star seasons from 2017 to 2014. And what you forget is, he's only 31.
He is. He's only 31 because he came in right out of high school. He was one of the last ones to come in right out of high school. I can't get past the feeling, Jerry, that I don't know if we've ever seen a player with the amount of talent and kind of raw build that Dwight Howard had, that kind of standing on the precipice of being a top player in the league.
You used precipice.
I thought it worked well.
It did. It was beautiful.
Was that right there?
No,
okay.
It was beautiful.
I thought it was... Did I use it correctly? I think
yeah,
I did.
You did.
Nailed
go,
it.
Go.
Okay.
Nailed
but
it.
Let me
go
make
ahead.
The point that we watched the entire, that he was standing near the top of the mountain, made the finals, right, the whole thing, and yeah, the breakup with Orlando, but all of that aside, okay, the entire league, the ground shifted from underneath him, and he was marginalized as a player. It was funny we mentioned this last night on the show. I mentioned Dwight Howard and the fact that the big man, and this was with the Mozgov deal as well, but the big man has been so marginalized in the NBA that all of these guys that it used to be that you needed a dominant center to win a championship, and now...
You know that Spielberg movie with the horse?
Secretariat?
No, the one with the war horse.
Oh, war horse. Okay.
He was war horse. He was in an era that was moving the tanks, and no one was telling him.
I've never seen it.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I've
anyways.
Never seen it, but... You go from Dwight Howard being kind of just a pick-and-roll guy who you can get by on, too.
I've been working on my threes.
I can't get over that.
You can't blame him, though, because he's trying to figure out a way to redefine himself because he's irrelevant in the current scenario.
But that's what I mean, is he's a guy that was maligned by the move to L.A. The back injury hurt his game, but also he's marginalized as a player. We're like, Dwight Howard has not gotten worse as a basketball player. Just the things that he adds to your in-game,
they have been diminished.
They mean less.
Yeah.
Where the 22 and 12 that Dwight gives you is now deemed as only slightly efficient.
But here's my question for you.
Yes.
If Shaq or Hakeem Olajuwon were in this era, are they still Shaq and Hakeem Olajuwon?
Yes. Yes, to a degree.
So that's the level is that at some point, Dwight just didn't take advantage of the skill set he was blessed with and stopped trying. When he went to L.A., he was so angry and disgusted that it wasn't what he was hoping for.
Right.
His rap career didn't take off. He got upset.
That will
and he was playing with probably the angriest basketball player of our generation.
Yeah, that will always be the enigma that is Dwight Howard. Why did you not improve these sides of your game? And the question of the night, we've kind of gotten away from it here, but that's fine. It's been a fun conversation about Dwight Howard, is how will he be remembered? I think we will remember part two of Dwight Howard's career, L.A. and on, more than the glory years in Orlando. I know that after a career is over, we romanticize it. We think about the best times, like when a relationship is over, you always think about the good times with the ex-girlfriend, and sometimes that leads to a backslide, which is never a good idea. Not that I'm speaking from experience or anything, but I think we will remember the bad times more than the good times with Dwight Howard.
I disagree, and here's why. I think he's going to have a chance at another ring. I think in the right setting, I don't think it's Charlotte. It's not Charlotte.
Bold statement. I like it, Jerry.
I think in his career, I think he's got another five. You and I said this. He has the potential to be an all-star for the next 3 to 4 seasons if he can reinvent himself.
He does, and I didn't get to that Clifford comment. We'll talk about that coming up a little later in the show. Tom Traxler is next, our friend with WRDQ Channel 27, Orlando City playing tonight in Seattle against the Sounders. Can they get a win on the road, one that they really need? We'll talk to Tom coming up next here on Live Local and Loud.
This is ESPN 580 Orlando's Live Local and Loud.
Hey, welcome back. It's Live Local and Loud here on ESPN 580. We're broadcasting from the Victory Casino Cruises Studios, home of the only legal sports book in Central Florida. You can get in touch with the show at 844-225-5580. The text is 21232. Also on Twitter, at ESPN580 Nick and at the Jerry Daniels. Tom Traxler from WRDQ TV 27 coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Talk Orlando City there in action tonight, taking on the Sounders in Seattle. Do not forget, tomorrow morning, Mike and Mike, that would be Thursday morning here on ESPN 580, beginning at 6. The guys will get you ready for the NBA draft with Jeff Goodman and Jay Billis. Plus, Stephen A. Smith joins the show. He'll be yelling about something. Don't miss Mike and Mike Thursday morning, beginning at 6, right here on ESPN 580 Orlando. Let's quickly get to our buddy Tom Traxler. He is with Channel 27, WRDQ TV, Channel 27. How about I say it correctly? Orlando City in action tonight in Seattle against the Sounders. Tom, how you doing, buddy? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing great. I'm rested. I've had my pregame meal, and I am ready to charge into the late night with a great Orlando City performance, of course.
We are looking forward to a good performance out of Orlando City. They're going to do it minus Kyle Larin, of course. He will not be playing in this match. A 3-3 draw against Montreal without Larin on Saturday. Tom, you watched that match where Larin did not play. I guess the question is, without Kyle Larin, what is this team missing the most? I know the goal-scoring threat is there as well, but what did you see from that team without Larin?
Really, honestly, just a little bit of decision-making out of the back. If a couple decisions out of the back were better, then that's a 3-1 win and probably one of the most dominating performances that the team has had this year and maybe even under Jason Christ, period.
Yeah,
so, for me... Go ahead, Jerry.
No, I agree. I was so frustrated with that game. Was I the only one in Orlando that got an ulcer over that game? I'm like, how did we draw that game?
Some bad decisions. Maybe tactically a little bit of being a little over-aggressive. Player is given options. I think everybody saw a couple of the giveaways, which directly led to Montreal Impact goals. Montreal got a point out of that game where really, honestly, they probably deserved none. And Orlando City got a point where they deserved three. But that is the game. So for me, let's keep a lot of that attacking the presence consistent. I loved Kaká, his work on the left. He held and maintained shape very well for the team, combined with Giles Barnes incredibly well. Giles Barnes and Carlos Rivas and Matias Perez Garcia all worked in great harmony together. And I thought they were very impressive as a foursome up top and created a lot more chances. Scored three, but created a lot more chances, not very good chances. So you do that, fix a couple things in the back, and this team's got what looks like an identity and a real way forward.
All right, a couple of thoughts here. We don't have a full week's rest, but neither does Seattle. And we've had luck against Seattle over the last two seasons. And although they're defending champions in the MLS, they are not performing anywhere near what the expectations were for the season. So going into this, is it okay for me to have some sort of level of confidence in this, what is the first of a three-game road series?
Well, we haven't had any luck against Seattle. We've lost twice. We lost back in 2015, 4-0 in Seattle. And then, if you recall, last season, 3-1 at the old Camping World Stadium. So we haven't had any success against them yet. They are a very Jekyll and Hyde team. Watched a few of their performances this year. One that stands out to me was recently against New England Revolution, where they went 3-0 down, and with inside the space of 18 minutes, rescued to 3-3 and getting a point. They have very good, as most teams in MLS do, they have very good attacking players. I think their problem really is finding some consistency in the lineup. A team that's been plagued by a lot of injury. And consistency up top of the goal scorer. Will Bruin leads them with 4 goals. But that's not a lot when you consider, a course of a season so far. So lack of maybe a consistent goal scorer, And lack of just consistency in a lot of has plagued them. But they are very good at home, like most teams are in MLS. So it's any visit to CenturyLink Field and that crowd, that noise, is always difficult. So to be sure, Orlando City are going to have to be at their very best tonight to to get something off the Seattle Sounders.
All right, real quick, moving to the Pride, Alex Morgan added back to the 20-person roster. They made one cut to make that happen. She was designated as a U.S. national team member, but she is done with that little gallivant over there to Lyonnaise. We're looking at maybe, what, 2 to 3 weeks for this hamstring injury to recover before she's back on the pitch?
Sure, but, I mean, you know, right now, honestly, the team looks fantastic. You know, a 4-2 win against the Houston Dash. Marta is scoring goals. This team is rounding into really good form here at this part of the season. And I'm very, very excited to see the addition of Alex Morgan to this group, to see how she fits in.
Does she mess with the flow that they have right now with Marta in there?
Well, that's always something that you wonder. And mess could be a good thing, too. You know, they could add a dimension to this team, which is what I'm looking for and what I'm excited to see. But they had a very tough start of the season. They had to go to very tough places and pulled off some draws. And, yeah, they had some defeats, but showed a nucleus of what they're capable of. And now this team is rounding into form. So I'm very excited to watch the Pride and see how they continue to evolve throughout the season. I think it could be one of the NWSL's real surprise and special packages.
All right, real quick, we only got a minute, but July 22nd is going to see the International Champions Cup come to Orlando with PSG and Tottenham. Any thoughts on this as we are about a month out tomorrow on this big international competition coming to Orlando?
Yeah, I'm excited as all get out that this is here in Orlando, and that's thanks to the supporters in Orlando City and all the work that they've done. That these teams now want to come to Orlando to play. And I'm excited because I used to have to get on a plane and fly to go see these games, and now I can just go to my backyard and see these games played. So Tottenham, a team that finished second in EPL, who's going to push to win the EPL. They're going to be a contender. And PSG, a team that's, you know, always in Champions League, always a threat to win Ligue 1. What a great match we have in our backyard. What a display of fantastic soccer.
All right, when does the broadcast start tonight? 10 o'clock Eastern time? I know what up there
10 p.m.
is.
10 p.m. on Channel 27, 1027 on the HD. And then the game will kick off a little after 10:30. And I hope everybody's got their coffee or whatever they need. Get your pajamas on. It's a pajama party. It's an Orlando City pajama party tonight. Let's do it. I'm already putting everybody's work excuse on my Facebook, so just go copy it off and take it to your boss.
All right, it's Tom Traxler with our sister station, WRDQ27. Thanks, Tom. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it.
Good to hear from Tom Traxler. That does, once again, Jerry, pick up right at 10 p.m., tonight, Orlando City and the Seattle Sounders. Orlando, of course, has not beaten Seattle. We will check it out, see if they can win that game here this evening, and stay in that MLS Eastern Conference table standings. Coming up next, we'll get into the Orlando Magic. John Hammond joins Scott Inez. We'll recap that coming up in hour number two.